This is Virginia Insight. I'm Tom Graham.
Friends think I'm joking when I say this, but maybe you can identify enough to realize I'm not. It used to be I could walk from the other end of the house all the way into the kitchen before I forgot what I came for. Nowadays, I can be standing at the refrigerator door, open it, and by the time I look inside, my intention has slipped away. But if this hour's guest is right, it may not be age that's getting me. This internationally acclaimed researcher has discovered lots of other factors of forgetfulness. Apparently, it could be I'm in the wrong mood much of the time, haven't gotten enough exercise recently, or, well, I won't give away all the findings just yet, but one of the more intriguing ones that many people in their 60s and 70s are doing far better than most had expected. Got questions of your own about memory and mental prowess? The man behind Virginia's Cognitive Aging Laboratory, Dr. Tim Salthouse, will be here to address those questions right after the news. I'm Tom Graham, and this is Virginia Insight. If you are listening at the top of the hour but have already forgotten what the topic is today, I have a phone number you may want to use. 888-967-2825. And if a memory mnemonic might help, please try 888-WMRA-TALK. Have any concerns about how well your brain is aging? Worries about memory problems you've seen in yourself or anyone else? The research psychologist who heads up Virginia's Cognitive Aging Laboratory is with us. And after decades of study into mental function and aging, I suspect he can address most any query you have for him. 888-967-2825. Dr. Tim Salthouse, thank you so much for making time for us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, Tim, is there any one thing about mental function and aging that you suspect most people don't realize, but you think it might be good if they did?
Well, yeah, I think one of the surprising findings that has been coming out of our research and some other laboratories is that even though most people are aware of changes in memory, some very similar types of changes occur in aspects of reasoning and thinking and various types of problem solving, and particularly how quickly you can carry out various mental operations, how fast you are at carrying out thinking operations.
So you're trying to cheer me up here. You're telling me not only is my memory going to get worse, but I'm going to get dumber as I age.
No, not really, because one of the things that I didn't mention there is the accumulation of knowledge. Most people tend to have much broader, richer knowledge as they get older, and that more than overcomes any limitation in novel problem solving in most everyday situations.
So can you give me some examples of this? Memory, I guess, is fairly easy for most people to understand their experiences with, because if we forget something or we're in the middle of trying to accomplish something and we forget part of what we're doing, that's sort of easy to understand that there's something going on. But in terms of the speed of different types of mental functioning, can you give us an example?
Yeah, sometimes it's simply following fast conversation. There are some television programs that are designed where there's very rapid presentation. There used to be a show many, many years ago called Laugh-In, where there was very rapid presentations. And those are the kinds of things that we tend to have a little bit more difficulty following and comprehending as we get older, because speed of comprehension slows down somewhat as well. In terms of reasoning or thinking and problem solving, many times we don't notice these effects because we don't have as much need for novel problem solving compared to when we were young, because we're relying much more on the knowledge base that we have.
So tell me what a novel problem might be that in my 40s, 50s, or 60s might be more challenging for me than when I'm in my 20s or 30s?
Learning how to deal with a new smartphone, a new computer program or an application, the kinds of things that may not be familiar to you right away, and you have to figure out the mindset that the developer had when they were setting that up. And for many younger people, partly it's because of their experience with those kinds of things, but also they're more efficient at carrying out those novel problem-solving tasks.
Research psychologist Tim Salthouse is our guest. He spent almost four decades studying what happens to our minds as we age. If you want to talk to him, you can reach us at 888-WMRA-TALK in Afton. Leslie, thanks for calling in. Your question or comment for Dr. Salthouse, yes. Please.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Love
sure.
The show. I definitely remember hitting 40 and thinking, okay, all those people were crazy. I don't know what they were talking about. I've got this. And then I hit 42, and it was like, ooh, okay, I'm starting to notice some differences here physically. And now I totally get the whole mental thing that people have been talking about as you age. I can't seem to juggle as many balls in the air. I can't seem to respond to them as quickly and recover from them as quickly as I used to. And I'm just curious, you know, do I need to just eat blueberries and broccoli now, or what kind of things can I do to exercise that muscle and make it work better for me?
That's a great question. I wish I knew the answer. Right now, we have a lot of ideas, things like blueberry, antioxidants of any form. Physical exercise, these are all things that have been identified as risk factors. There's very few randomized clinical trials where we've randomly assigned people to either, say, a physical exercise group or a control group where they're not active, and then looked at the cognitive functioning across many years.
So there's statistical correlations.
There's correlations. There's associations.
You find that people who have a lot of blueberries or other antioxidants in their diet tend to have less problems with decrease in functioning. Or people who get lots of exercise tend to do better on the kinds of mental testings that you do at your lab.
That's right. These are associations or correlations.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that one causes the other.
Exactly. And let me give you an example. A number of years ago, one of the most prominent researchers in this field found that people who were married tend to have higher cognitive functioning. But I don't think anybody would prescribe marriage as a way to minimize cognitive decline or enhance cognitive functioning. I mean, there's an association, but to assume that it's causal is still too
early.
It
might just be that smarter people get married in the first place.
It could be, yes.
Well,
Leslie,
I also have another question.
Yeah, sure.
My other question would be, as the technology and the things that you were talking about continue to add layers of stress, if you will, and the more demands that come across our desk and through our phones and the mail and all these other things, is there a direct correlation between the amount of stress that is in your life and the decrease in the memory and the other cognitive abilities?
Leslie, can you hang on for just a moment? Because we've got another lady on the phone line here, and I think she may have a complimentary question to yours, and then I'm going to ask Dr. Tim Salthouse to respond to both if I could. But in case he has a question for you, I'm hoping you can hang on. Is that okay?
Off the air, if that's okay.
Next to Waynesboro, this is Christy. Christy, thank you for calling in on Virginia Insight. Your question or comment for Tim Salthouse, please.
Yes, thank you. I just had a quick comment here. I've heard of people say about women after they've had a child that they get something called mama mush or baby brains, and it's just that sudden, like, you can't remember what you were going to say, or the sentence just drops off and you have no idea. And I feel like I experienced that after the birth of my daughter, too. And I just wondered if there was anything to that.
Christy, is it okay to ask how old you were when your daughter was born?
Yeah, I was 26.
And how long ago was it?
2 years ago.
Okay. Tim?
Well, I don't know anything about that. That's something, the first time I've heard that. There are certain life experiences that are associated with changes in memory and other cognitive functioning. And it may be that particularly stressful or particularly enjoyable, you know, something that changes your mood quite a bit is having the effects. And it's not the childbirth per se, but it's the other consequences, concomitants of that. The earlier question about stress affecting memory, that has been established. In fact, stress increases the cortisol levels, which can lead to damage in the memory areas of the brain and the hippocampal area. That's been very well established in animal models. And there seems to be some evidence for that in humans, but that's not something we study in my laboratory.
Leslie, can you hear Christy?
Yes, I could.
So Tim and I, not having ever been pregnant, apparently don't have experience with what Christy was talking about. I wonder if you have or if you have women friends who ever talk about what Christy referred to as mama mush.
Well, actually, it's funny because I think for me personally, being exhausted, having a demand that requires the forefront of your brain to be focused on what does that child need, how can I make sure that this is getting done, and it doesn't necessarily maybe have to be a child. It could be a stressful time in your job, maybe, or another life crisis, maybe. And I don't mean crisis necessarily as negative, just stressful. It seems like when I had my daughter, I definitely kind of dropped the ball, as it were, on a lot of other things because she was my focus. And so I'm not sure whether that was a cognitive decrease in function or if it was just distraction. And I guess that's kind of where my question came from is, you know, how much of what I'm experiencing now is plus 40 is cognitive decrease versus just being distracted and maybe not as able to focus.
Yeah, that's a good question. One way that you might be able to find out yourself is to take a long vacation and see whether these kinds of cognitive problems are still around. But I agree with your earlier comments that sometimes other things in your life take priority over these simple types of cognitive tasks. And it may be that there's simply a shift in the allocation of your mental or cognitive resources to things like caring for this young new life as opposed to dealing with the kinds of cognitive activities that you were doing before.
Leslie in Afton and Christy in Waynesboro, thank you both so much for taking the time to call us here on Virginia Insight. And Christy, I'm hoping that we have some other people in our audience since we weren't able to completely answer your question about women experiencing a sense of brain dysfunction after their pregnancy is completed. There might be some women in the audience who have some comment or experience with that they'd be willing to share with us. And if you listening are such a person, we've got a phone line open for you at 888-WMRA-TALK. In all numbers, that's 888-967-2825. Again, Christy and Leslie, thanks so much. Our guest on this edition of Virginia Insight Research, psychologist Dr. Tim Salthouse. For some four decades, his primary research focus has been the effects of aging on aspects of cognitive functioning, including memory, reasoning, and spatial abilities. Let's talk about spatial abilities, because I've been told I have none.
Well, that's something that has a lot of individual differences. Some people claim that they just can't do any spatial tasks, and others are really thrive at it. The way we tend to measure that in the laboratory is with a variety of abstract tasks that most people have very little familiarity with. For example, one of our tests involves presenting a box that is supposed to represent a piece of paper and then showing successive folds of that box and then asking the person to imagine that there's a hole punched through the folded surface. And then if the paper were unfolded, what pattern of holes would result? And some people really struggle with that because they feel like their brain is doing twisting and turning when they're imagining these folds, whereas other people tend to enjoy it and they find it, you know, really an interesting, exciting kind of thing to do.
And you find in your research that even if you were good at this in your 20s, you might not be so good at it in your 40s?
It's one of those types of abilities that does seem to decline with increased age.
But you also say that there are ways that people who are older, often without even knowing it, make up for that decrease in speedy brain function.
If you have a lot of experience in a particular domain, the age effects may be minimal to non-existent. In fact, you may even show continuous improvements.
I want to ask you more about that. We're going to hit the break in a second. We're going to continue with research psychologist Dr. Tim Salthouse in just a bit more than 1 minute. We've already got a couple of fascinating questions that have arrived on Facebook. We'll get to those when we get back. to you who are listening. How good is your memory? Has it changed over the years? Are there ways your brain power is actually better in your view today than it used to be? 888-WMRA-TALK is the easy way to remember our phone number. Translated, that's 888-967-2825. Or if you prefer to type instead of talk, you can post to us on Facebook where we are listed as WMRA's Virginia Insight. Our guest, the director of the University of Virginia's Salthouse Cognitive Aging Laboratory, Dr. Tim Salthouse. I'm Tom Graham. We have this on our Facebook page, Tim, from Frank, who says, I've heard some people say that those expensive computer programs that are supposed to help you maintain your memory are really no better for you than doing crossword puzzles. Does Dr. Salthouse have an opinion on that?
Well, this is a very controversial topic because there are a lot of people who would profit from these types of brain training games. And so they have a vested interest in it. The research is actually somewhat mixed. There's not a lot of convincing evidence that most of those commercial packages both increase your cognitive functioning in domains other than what you're specifically trained on and have effects that persist over time that actually slow down your rate of aging. On the other hand, if you enjoy it, if it's something that you find relaxing or stimulating, then there's no reason not to do it. Just don't think that it's going to keep you from declining or postpone dementia or something like that. We just don't have that kind of evidence yet.
Do you have evidence that what Frank referred to, I think, was doing crossword puzzles, that that helps or doesn't help?
No, that doesn't seem to be beneficial. We did some research in my laboratory on that. It doesn't seem to slow down the rate of cognitive decline. On the other hand, if you find it something that's enjoyable and relaxing for you, then you're in a better mood, and the mood effects on cognition can be fairly substantial. So I don't think that there's a direct effect, but I think the indirect effects may be there.
I'm going to have to ask you more about mood if I can remember to do so. But we've got James here who's been waiting for a while, calling in from Rutgersville. James, thanks for joining us on Virginia Insight. Your question or comment for Dr. Tim Salthouse, please.
Hi, yes. I just tuned in, so I'm not sure if this has been asked yet. But I was wondering if there are any supplements or herbs that have any, you know, research done into them, if there's any evidence that there's anything out there that helps with memory retention or cognition. And I'll take the answer off the air.
Well, hold on, because he may have a question for you, if that's okay.
Fine.
The work on nutrients is still in the infancy. There's not an awful lot of convincing research. One of the most compelling research studies was done a few years ago on ginkgo biloba. That was done by the person who's the dean of the medical school at UVA. And their
and
results
depressed a lot of people.
Yeah, because there wasn't any evidence that it had protective effects and that it enhanced cognition. And I think that's true of most of the large-scale clinical studies trying to look at memory-enhancing nutrients, that there's the evidence really isn't there yet.
But we might repeat for James, since he did say he just tuned in, something that you mentioned earlier, that there are at least statistical associations with blueberries and antioxidants?
There are associations with some things. So blueberries, fish oil, there are some associations, though. We don't know whether it's isolated to that particular component or it's other aspects of the lifestyle that makes you choose to eat those types of products.
But we should note that we're talking about positive associations.
Yes,
yes. In these statistical correlations, they found people who take certain amounts of fish oil on a daily basis or eat blueberries on a regular basis, that their mental abilities seem to stay more acute than those who don't do those things.
They tend to be higher at a given point in time, whether or not they persist at a higher level so that there's an effect on the rate of change is still open.
I'm curious if you've experienced or experimented with any particular kinds of supplements or foods and if you've had a sense of something working or not working for you.
Well, I've tried ginkgo. I'm also on an antidepressant, and my my doctor told me that you shouldn't take ginkgo with Zoloft, which is what I'm on. But right now I take an herb called rhodiola, and there have been some studies done on it that it helps your cognition if you're tired or I'm trying to remember exactly what the term was, but I was wondering if the guest had any information on that.
No, I'm sorry. I don't know that particular product.
James, thank you so much for taking the time to call us. 888-WMRA-TALK is our phone number. Well, actually, in all numbers, it's 888-967-2825. Research psychologist Dr. Timothy Salthouse is our guest. I'm Tom Graham. This may actually relate to James' question, but this showed up a little bit ago, Tim, on our Facebook page, from Jessica, who says, a friend told me her memory improved tremendously once she stopped drinking diet colas with NutraSweet. Any idea how aspartame affects the brain or how any other foods do or do not help memory and brain function?
No, I'm afraid that's outside my my area of expertise. I don't know those specific nutrient effects.
As far as you know, you haven't even heard anybody talk about whether or not diet soft drinks with aspartame or saccharin or anything do or do not affect.
No, I haven't heard anything about that.
Well, that again is something that some people in our audience, if Jessica heard it from a friend, other people may have experienced it as well. And if you'd be willing to share your experience with us, we've got a phone line open for you at 888-967-2825. Let's get back to the other thing that James was mentioning and that you hinted at before, Tim Salthouse, mood, depression, the opposite of depression, whatever you would call it. All of those have an effect on people's ability to have their brain work well, whether it's memory or something else?
Yes, certainly depression, anxiety, feelings that you're not in control of your life situation, all of those can negatively affect cognition. And one of the surprising results from our laboratory and from some other laboratories as well is that those, sometimes they're called the constellation of negative affect. It's depressive symptoms, anxiety, neuroticism, all of those 10 kinds of things are negatively associated with cognition, but they tend to be at their peak for most people in their 60s and 70s. Their least amount of negative affect, their highest positivity, tends to be when they're 60, 70, and 80 years old,
so
not at younger ages.
People who are around retirement age and above, the research is showing, tend to feel like they're in the best frame of mind of their life?
That's true. In terms of their attitudes towards life, they may have some health problems, there may be financial problems, whatever, but in terms of how they feel about life, their satisfaction with life, their lack of depressive symptoms, their lack of anxiety, that's the best time for this emotional stability.
Well, if you who are listening are over the age of 60 and you have an opinion about that in what you've seen in your own life or somebody else's, we'd be happy to hear from you, either on our Facebook page where we are listed as WMRA's Virginia Insight or by phone at 888-967-2825. Ray in Afton, thanks for calling in. Your question or comment for Dr. Tim Salthouse, please.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking the call. I was wondering, given the fact that high levels of stress diminish the cognitive reasoning, has there been any studies done with men and women in the armed services who were in armed conflict in terms of how that impacts the cognitive abilities?
That's a great question, and I'm sure there have been right after stressful events. But I'm not aware of more general studies with the wide and broad type of cognition. There are some associated with specific aspects of what's sometimes called executive control, being able to inhibit irrelevant thoughts, being able to stop inappropriate actions at a very rapid pace. But I'm not aware of broader literature on that topic.
Ray, if it's not too personal a question, I'm curious if you have some military experience yourself.
No, but I very members of the family have, and we felt that possibly some of the stress that they have felt impacted them.
It certainly would make sense, though, wouldn't it, if as Dr. Salthaus is saying, Ray,
which seemed to me to be overwhelmingly stressful.
Oh, yeah. And is this person able to get treatment for that?
Yeah, fortunately that they are, and they're doing well.
Thanks for raising such an important point.
Right. Thank you so much.
888-967-2825. If you want to talk with a research psychologist and specialist in aging cognition, Tim Salthaus. Next, we go to Fishersville. Adrian, thanks for calling in. Your question, please. Had a little bit of technical snafu there. I think we've got Adrian on the line now. Adrian, my apologies. Your question or comment for Dr. Tim Salthaus, please.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking a call. A question and a comment. The question is for those who have suffered from concussions, TBIs, traumatic brain injuries, things of that nature, and that are also getting a tad bit older, is there anything that is recommended to bring your power, so to speak, up to speed? In other words, to help with those detractors that you have in memory. And that's one. And number two, I have an interesting scenario because of that past history. I have issues remembering things that I've just done in a very recent past, but yet I can recall things in minute detail that happened 35, 40 years ago, and that's just boggling to me.
Adrian, do I take from what you said that you have had a concussion in the past?
Yeah, well, I've actually had suffered concussions on at least two occasions, and actually had what was classified as a traumatic brain injury on yet a third. So I guess three strikes and I'm out. But I have.
And all these were some time ago.
They were over a long period of time, and I certainly have felt the effects from it, undoubtedly.
Dr. Salthaus.
Yeah, in terms of what you can do in terms of the combination of past concussions and TBI and aging, I'm not really sure what to suggest. What we know is that physical exercise is probably the best thing for maintaining a healthy brain. So if you can keep physically active, that's probably the best thing that I would suggest. Your other comment about your memory problems seem to be primarily the short-term or the immediate memory as opposed to very long-term or remote memory, that's a very common type of experience. And we make a distinction between what's called working memory, which is the memory that is sort of the immediate consciousness. If you look up a phone number, somebody asks you a question, and then you have to dial that phone number, that's working memory in the sense that you're trying to maintain the information while there's some type of interference or distracting activity. And that's very sensitive to a variety of types of brain damage and to normal aging. So I wouldn't be surprised with the kind of dissociation that you're reporting, where very intact or good longer-term memory and then some difficulties in this short-term working memory.
Adrian, does that address your questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for calling in. 888-967-2825, our call-in number here on Virginia Insight, as we look at aging and cognitive function with longtime specialist in that area, research psychologist Tim Salthaus. Next to Harrisonburg, Chris, your question or comment, please.
Hi. I know that ping pong helps with hand-eye coordination. How does it do with memory?
Did you say something about ping pong, Chris?
Yes, playing ping pong.
Well, it's physical exercise, Tim.
Yeah, I assume the physical exercise might be relevant there. The key is a fair amount of aerobic exercise. You're keeping the blood flow going and circulation in the brain. If you're a very vigorous ping pong player, that might be enough to provide the exercise that seems to be important.
But in terms of if you're a vigorous and serious ping pong player, the kind of eye concentration, the kind of thinking ahead of what's going to happen next, like some people liken it to an extraordinarily fast chess game. Do you think that that mental activity might benefit people at all?
You know, it might be, because the fast switching and anticipation could have long-term consequences. I'm fairly certain that nobody's done the type of controlled research study that would be relevant there. But the reason why I'm saying it might be positive is that there's some fascinating work with bilinguals, people who are fluent in more than one language, and it turns out that they tend to have benefits in a variety of cognitive domains that are particularly pronounced among older adults. So young and middle-aged adults don't necessarily show these benefits because they're already functioning at a fairly high level, but in later adulthood, the bilingualism seems to provide an advantage because of the hypothesis is because of the constant need to switch between languages throughout your life.
So the brain has had a lot of experience with switching back and forth at high speed. It may be in a way analogous to ping pong. Hypothesis is that strengthens your ability to compensate as you grow older?
That's right. That this constant switching, in this case between languages, may strengthen areas of the brain, may make it more efficient to communicate in different areas of the brain. And there are some behavioral effects particularly pronounced among older adults.
Chris, who knew talking about ping pong could result in such fascinating effects and perhaps now a new scientific study to come? Thank you so much for calling us. We're going next to Charlottesville. Mike, you're on Virginia Insight with Dr. Tim Salthouse. Please go ahead.
Hey, thank you. Hi, doctor. I appreciate this program. So I'm calling because I wanted to piggyback along on Adrian's questions. I suffer the same symptoms he has, as I had suffered recently a traumatic brain injury in an aircraft accident. But more lengthier, I've had a couple concussions. And so my question is, what will be my mental health as I age? I'm 50 years old right now, and I'm curious to know what will happen to me, you know, as I age. And number two, what can I do about it other than physical exercise? Is there any other activities that I could pursue to maybe help make up those deficits that I'm suffering?
Well, with respect to your second question, I really would urge you to consult with some neuropsychologists who specialize in rehabilitation with brain injury. There's some people who really know what's going on and the best ways to deal with that. I'm not an expert in that area, so I really can't
give
you advice.
Your area is aging and what happens.
Right, in terms of mainly normal aging. And I'm not aware of any conditions where there's an acceleration of the aging effects associated with brain damage. So what I'm suggesting is that your course of aging in terms of mental aging, cognitive aging, is probably going to be similar to other people who are at your current level, that it may not be proceeding at a faster rate. But that's just a guess because there hasn't been much research on that.
Mike, I have some questions that are sort of follow-ups to what you were talking about based on interviews that I've done with psychologists who specialize in traumatic brain injury. And I want to see if I can make a connection to some of the other things that Dr. Salthouse has told us. But as you can hear, we're about to hit the break. So my question is, can you hang on for us for just a bit more than a minute, and then we'll see if we can do these follow-ups?
Be glad to. I'll stand by.
Thank you so much. We continue on Virginia Insight with research psychologist Dr. Tim Salthouse in just a bit more than 1 minute. Our guest on this edition of Virginia Insight, the director of the University of Virginia's Salthouse Cognitive Aging Laboratory, Dr. Tim Salthouse. I'm Tom Graham. We still have Mike from Charlottesville on the line. And Mike, stay with me here if you would. I'm going to see if I can explain this. Dr. Salthouse, what I have heard from psychologists who specialize in treating people who've had some loss of brain function based on some sort of brain injury is that oftentimes, eventually, there's some quality of depression that sets in. Not necessarily with everybody, but what these experts have told me is that people feel some significant loss, that there are some ways in which their brain doesn't work the same way it used to. And they're struggling at times to find compensations. And oftentimes they do find ways to compensate. And sometimes they even say, my mental abilities are better now than they were before. But getting through that arc, I've heard it said by these experts that often you have to worry about depression. And what you told us earlier in the program is depression is highly associated with a reduction in brain function, especially as we age. Would it be reasonable then to say somebody who's had Mike's experience that if you ever get to the point where you feel like there's depression setting in, you especially should be looking out to seek help?
Yeah, I agree. Depression is something that can affect cognitive functioning. And in fact, one of the major issues that people consider when you're considering a diagnosis that somebody might have dementia is to rule out other conditions, one of the most salient of which is depression. You want to make sure that somebody is not having memory and other cognitive problems merely because they're depressed. And depression is something that can be treated. So I very much agree with the point that if you've had these kinds of experiences before with concussions, traumatic brain injury, you are at risk for depression. Make sure that you take appropriate steps to get that treatment, because that could be contributing to some of the cognitive difficulties that someone's having.
Mike, thank you so very much for your call. We're going to go next to Fishersville. Tara, am I getting it right, or is it Tara?
It is Tara.
Tara, thanks for calling in. Your question or comment for Dr. Tim Salthouse, please.
I was just curious as to, oftentimes you hear that women are better multitaskers, and is there a difference in how, you know, male versus female, how our brains degenerate as we age?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question, and there's quite a bit of research on that. The simple answer is no. That most of the research suggests that the decline in males and females is fairly similar, but there are differences in the levels of cognitive abilities. For
example, I don't know what that means.
Well, females tend to do better at some verbal memory tests and at some speed of processing, some simple types of comparison tests. Whereas males tend to be better at these kinds of spatial tests that I described earlier. But surprisingly, those differences are roughly the same magnitude at all ages. So it seems as though males and females in most of the studies tend to have similar rates of decline, even though they may start at somewhat different levels depending upon the particular domain of cognition that we're talking about.
Tara, does that address your question?
Yes, it does. It's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling in. 888-967-2825. We've got a few more minutes to take calls here with research psychologist and specialist in aging cognition, Dr. Tim Salthouse. One of the things that I understand that at your laboratory, the Salthouse Aging Cognition Laboratory or Cognition I always mix it up, Tim. Cognitive Aging Laboratory. You've been studying the tip of the tongue phenomena. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is something that an undergraduate in my laboratory has been working on this past year. And the tip of the tongue experience is when you know something, you know the name of somebody, or there's something that you are sure you know, but you can't retrieve it at that particular moment.
And that doesn't happen for me more than 5 or 10 times an hour, but okay.
Yeah, it's something that's a very common experience, and sometimes it's embarrassing because it may be somebody that you're very familiar with, but you just can't retrieve the name at that particular moment. And the issue that we've been investigating is, should that be considered a sign of declining memory or perhaps impending dementia? Because a lot of people experience this. It tends to be more likely as you get older. Mm-hmm. And what we were trying to find out is whether tip-of-the-tongue experiences are related to the types of memory abilities that are associated with declining cognition and dementia. And the simple answer is it doesn't seem to be the case, that these are two independent phenomena, that tip-of-the-tongue experiences are more frequent with increased age, But the people who have more tip of the tongue experiences are not necessarily the people who have poor memory, and vice versa.
Wow. Next to Stanton. Dave, thanks for calling in. Your question or comment for Dr. Tim Salthouse, please.
Hi. I have been reading on the web a little bit, and of course that's always reliable, that transcranial direct current stimulation can be helpful in not only learning things, but also with some mood disorders. Do you know anything about that?
Say that again. Transcranial, what was it?
A transcranial direct current stimulation, essentially hooking a battery up to your skull.
Okay.
I'm not sure of research with direct stimulation like that. There is quite a bit of research on what's called transmagnetic stimulation, which is a delivery of a repetitive pulse of electrical activity to cause a shift in the magnetic fields, electromagnetic fields. And that's being used for treatment of depression. There are some types of cognitive abilities that can be temporarily disrupted with the administration of this TMS right above the appropriate area of the brain. Whether or not it's beneficial is something I'm not sure about.
Dave, it's a fascinating question. Thanks for bringing it up. And it reminds me, based also on what we were just talking about, tip of the tongue, I'm going to make a personal revelation here if I can get away with it. About 3 years ago, I was seeing an acupuncturist for some persistent health problems that traditional Western medicine just didn't seem to be able to address very well. And I remember this very kind lady who was sticking needles in me once a week for several weeks said to me early on, well, I know that you've come for this issue and this issue and this, but is there anything else that's been troubling you lately? And I thought maybe she was a mind reader, because I said, well, actually, you know, I host a live talk show, and I used to be really good at finding the words for whatever question came to my mind next. And lately, there are words that I just can't reach for. I've got this tip of the tongue phenomenon that, you know, I'm stuttering and stumbling. Not that I don't stutter and stumble anyway. But she said, well, we have something for that. And about 3 weeks later, you know, after three treatments of having needles stuck in me, she said, by the way, how's that tip of the tongue phenomenon where you couldn't remember words? And I thought for a minute, I went, it's gotten much better. And it has stayed much better than, you know, because at one point it was really problematic, Tim. Now I still have a little bit. I probably should go back for more acupuncture treatments. At least it worked for me. But I wonder if you've heard anything about acupuncture being at all effective for the things that you look at.
No, I sure haven't. And that's a fascinating report there. What my suspicion is that you might have been distracted and concerned about the health issues that motivated the trip to the acupuncturist, and that as those resolved themselves, that you had more of your cognitive resources that could devote to your normal kinds of activities, so that the tip of the tongue experiences tended to diminish because you had more.
I'm still a mess, though. You're not buying the idea that there's some sort of electronic stimulation that happens from acupuncture.
I don't see how it could be direct enough.
All right. Well, there might be somebody else who has had experience with acupuncture who wants to share that. And we've got the phone line open for you at 888-967-2825. Gene is on the line with us. Gene, thanks for calling in. Your question or comment, please.
Yeah, I have strange dreams, and they don't make any sense at all. And people I haven't thought of in many, many years, 50, 60, 70 years, and they show up, and I seem to be in the strange locations all the time. Is that when you get older?
Are you willing to tell us anything about your age?
My age?
Yes.
90 years old.
Okay. Dr. Salthouse.
Oh, I really don't know anything about that. Are these dreams, though, are they more frequent as you've been getting older? Did you have this?
It seems like they're just weird things I don't understand. You can't reason one out at all. I don't even know what they're about, or, you know, when I wake up.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that. I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought maybe you knew something about dreams. I thought maybe as you got older, you get weird dreams, you know.
I haven't heard of that.
Yeah.
Have you noticed any other differences in your sense of mental acuity as you've gotten older?
No. I think I'm in pretty good shape mentally. I think my memory is better than a lot of younger people that I know.
Huh? It's just the dreams.
Tomorrow might be worse, you know?
Well, we'll have to have a dream specialist on sometime. Sorry that we didn't have an answer for you, but thank you so much for taking a few moments to share with us. This is Virginia Insight. Tim Salthouse, director of the University of Virginia's Salthouse Cognitive Aging Laboratory, is our guest. Hearing from somebody who's 90 years old and ends up saying that his memory and his mental function is better than lots of people much younger than him, it leads me to wonder, Dr. Salthouse, if there are some assumptions that many of us make that as people age, they are inevitably going to lose mental functioning, and everybody, if they live long enough, is going to end up with some form of dementia?
Well, the second point, I'm pretty sure, is not the case. The prevalence estimates for dementia are somewhere in the 25 to 35% of healthy of 85-year-olds. So there's a large proportion of people who live to that age who don't have dementia. With respect to whether decline is inevitable, that's still somewhat controversial. There seem to be people who are functioning at very high levels and very late ages. The question that we don't know is whether they were functioning at even higher levels when they were very young. And that's why we need to do these types of studies where we follow the same people over time. They're called longitudinal studies. And that's one of the things that we're doing in our laboratory, but it's only been going on for about 10 years so far.
What is Alzheimer's, and how does that differ from other forms of dementia?
Alzheimer's is a particular form of dementia. It's responsible for about half to two-thirds of the dementias. There's a variety of other types. For example, dementia associated with vascular problems is a different type of dementia. Alzheimer's is associated with plaques and tangles in the brain, and those are things that are typically not confirmed until autopsy. So mainly we're relying on behavioral observations, primarily memory, but also a variety of other things. In fact, there's an acronym that I think is very useful for characterizing dementia, and it's JAMCO, J-A-M-C-O. The J stands for judgment, which tends to be impaired sometimes. A stands for affect or emotional. It can be either apathy, where you're withdrawn, or heightened reactions that are excessive. So for the A for affect, the memory is the M. C stands for comprehension. Sometimes people have difficulty following complex instructions or following a train of thought. And then O is orientation. And this has to do with orientation in both space and time. So those five characteristics are all behavioral: judgment, affect, memory, comprehension, and orientation. And they seem to characterize the dementia syndrome.
So you look specifically for these JAMCO characteristics, J-A-M-C-O, and make a judgment on based on what readings you get of how well people are functioning in these areas, of whether dementia is setting in?
Yes, in a more formal way. You first want to rule out other things, such as depression, and then at the behavioral level, you look at these various characteristics, and you have to make sure that you have objective evidence that the memory is impaired. It's not just that someone is reporting memory problems, but it has to be a certain level below what the norms, what the expectation would be for somebody of their age.
And we're just about out of time, so I'm only going to read part of Heidi's question here on Facebook. She says, is there any research using neurofeedback to improve age-related brain function? And she says that she did use it successfully for some things.
There has been a little bit of research on biofeedback, either using EEG as the the triggering signal, or there's been a little bit of work with functional neuroimaging. But I don't think there's been enough research that you could make a recommendation that that's something that is going to be effective.
It sounds, Tim, like the bottom line for you is if somebody is trying to sell someone listening something, guaranteeing them that it's going to make their brain work better as they age, that's a sales pitch to be very cautious about.
Absolutely.
Until we have more research.
Yes.
Our guest has been Dr. Timothy Salthouse, research psychologist and director of the Salthouse Cognitive Aging Laboratory at the University of Virginia. Tim, thank you so very much for making time for us.
It's been my pleasure.
Virginia Insight's executive producer is Matt Bingay. Our associate producers are Terry Ward and Bob Levicky. Some of our break music supplied by Robert Jospe and Inner Rhythm. You can find audio postings of Virginia Insight by going online to WMRA.org. Then clicking on Programs, and then clicking on Virginia Insight. And once you have done all that and gotten to the Virginia Insight page, you will find links to more information about the work that Dr. Tim Salthouse has been doing. Plus, if you go to Virginia Insight's Facebook page and click like, you'll have access to a whole bunch more information about our broadcast there as well. Thanks so much for tuning in for this edition. I'm Tom Graham. Hope we can get together again soon for more Insight.